everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We have Max Ball here today from Ring Central joining us on the CX Experience. Looking very much forward to the conversation today. Max is the Director of Product Marketing for Ring Central, which is really a great grab for us for this conversation, because he's going to have a lot of insights, not only into the current state of the product, but where it's going, where their integrations look like. And it's going to be an exciting time for us to have a good conversation, especially since we're all sitting in our houses now with hopefully have a lot of time to look at content, Max. So, Max, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate you jumping on the call.
Well, thanks for including me, Frank. I'm looking forward to this. The conversations we had earlier, I enjoyed. So hopefully it'll continue.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Yeah. it's funny. The more and more we do these conversations, we're finding, there's different stresses on our day now than during the workday when we're all kind of normally in the office. I found that there's some people are jam-packed with meetings. Other people kind of are finding themselves with more and more free time because people are kind of doing their own thing during the day. It's interesting times. Where do you find yourself now? Are your demands been more increased, have been increased, or are they kind of lighter?
So demands are crazy. Being a cloud company with all the pandemic stuff going on, it just has gotten so busy. It's really crazy. And we can talk a little bit more about that over time. It's funny you mentioned meetings. Meetings haven't changed that much for me. They kind of come and go. I'll have a day where I've got 1 hour free to get anything done, and then I'll have another day where I've got an hour or so of meetings. So that, I guess there's a few more, but it's still the kind of schizophrenic, they're meeting days and they're non-meeting days.
Yeah, we do a regular huddle call every day to kind of just keep everybody seeing each other. And then we're finding that there's some issues that people are having. I shouldn't say issues. What there are people coming to us and trying to say, hey, I need to maintain my culture. I need to maintain that in-office culture while we're there. So the demands on the collaboration tools have been enormous. I mean, I think we've all seen the constraints on bandwidth for some of these applications as well. Not mentioning all the other stuff in the news about the hosted providers, but it's I've seen the demands on the platforms have been really stressed to the max.
Yeah, and I've learned a lot about people. I now know who has really bad internet connection to their house.
Yeah.
You start to learn that very quickly. You know, I want to pick up on something you said, because I found it really interesting, this idea of we're having a daily call to kind of keep in sync, feel like a team, et cetera. Collaboration tools in the contact center, I've seen that a lot. One customer of ours is a travel agency. And one of their challenges was kind of regional expertise and deep expertise on a specific kind of travel. And they had people who, they could find really good people for that, but they couldn't find it where their headquarters were. So they had a challenge of, they really wanted to do remote. They became very aggressive doing remote. And part of how they made that work was exactly what you were just talking about you do internally with your guys, is they would have a daily huddle with all the teams, kind of like, just before they didn't start doing the phone till like 9 or something. So they could get in at 8:45 and just have a couple quick minutes, people would tell a success story or something like that. And just, kind of what a lot of good contact centers do is they really try to make it feel like a team and a gang. And they did their best to do that through a meeting, which was really interesting. They made everybody do video. So you had to, even the purple mohawk guy had to at least have a shirt on.
You got to get up and shower in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I don't know if you had to shower, but you had to comb your hair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
You wouldn't have to worry about.
Listen. All I worry about is glare. That's my biggest enemy right now in the world. Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned that, right? And I think what we've seen in terms of cultural differences of organizations, even generationally, gamification is an interesting conversation that front. And some people have come to us and said, we need to fast track it. Other people have said, we don't want to look at it right now, even though we're in a situation where it may prove helpful. We just want to huddle. We want to meet regularly. We want to incorporate video into the conversation. We want to incorporate better QM tools so that we can coach people better and more what used to be the end of the day wrap up or the middle of the day wrap up or midday coaching is now shifted to where we need to do it more on the fly because we can't pull people in together. So all these collaboration tools have been tremendously valuable for people. Now, actually, you know, let's shift gears a little bit here because you guys at RingCentral are an interesting guest for us today because you're one of the biggest suppliers out there in the country for UCaaS services. And your strategy on contact center services, I find very interesting. And until you and I spoke, I don't think I really recognized how powerful the collaboration strategy you've done with your partner is. Do you mind explaining a little bit about this? Because some people may be coming to us saying, that's an interesting group to have on for CCaaS. So I'm very interested to see what your strategy is and why you guys have done it so powerfully in the fashion that you have done it amongst other choices you could have gone.
So it's a great question. The way this evolved, and it's interesting, RingCentral took a very gradual toe in the water, foot in the water, ankle in the water, knee in the water, all right, we're diving in kind of approach. The first thing was just really an observation that people want to get contact center and communications, UC, PBX, whatever you want to call it. People really want to get that from the same vendor. So the first thing was we just started to hear people asking us, well, don't you do contact center? And that drove us to start to say, okay, we want to get into this business. This is, thing someone's asking us for. So we started pretty gradually, small team. We've got a really strong partnership with InContact. We take their stuff and we have our RingCentral contact center product, which is a huge step beyond that. And that proved to be very successful. There was a lot of interest in that. People, the average contact center manages 20 different vendor relationships. So when you've got that many things you're trying to juggle, consolidation of vendors is huge. If I can bring the telephony together with some of the contact center, that's a big value to me. That's going to simplify. And I think that's a lot of what drives this. So that then, moving from just the initial, okay, so we're going to start selling contact center, that drove a couple of different things. One is more and more we're bringing the products actually together. And I'll go into the function of that in a moment. But the other is, really trying to get to the breadth. So we have full workforce optimization. You mentioned quality management. We're not just the ACD. We can be the workforce management, the quality management, the scheduling, all of that. So we really focus on doubling down on breadth and doing it with high quality stuff. So it's not like, oh, I can get a good point solution or I can get the stuff that's okay. And then the other thing is we start looking at bringing the UC capabilities together with the contact center. And there's a lot of things that starts to do. One is just the simple shared telephony and some of the, when we talk to a company that's global, a lot of times they're just getting reamed by the carriers on the telephony charges internationally. We've seen customers where the international telephony savings was more than the contact center all in. So basically, the telephony savings subsidized, but that may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's not far. So they're getting a huge subsidy just by the telephony savings. And then they're getting all this additional functionality. There's a lot of things around routing calls from an office to the contact center. So something like an insurance company, we can get into this in detail later, but at an insurance company, I just call the broker. I don't even know the 800 number. I don't want to know the 800 number. The broker can move me on to the central thing if it's a claims follow-up or something like that. Or if the broker isn't there, it can go to the contact center. So what's interesting is for an insurance company, now I'm competing with Allstate or State Farm or whoever for brokers. And if I can go and say, look, I'm going to give you a phone system in your office and I'm going to charge you a reasonable rate for it. All you got to have is an internet connection. You don't need to have anybody come in and install a bunch of stuff and all that kind of thing. And then when you're off hours, if you want, you can just have all the calls route to the contact center. So now it's like a value add of it's a better customer experience and builds that relationship. It allows their brokers to be the face for the company, and it's a value add for them. So now they get to charge the broker for the phone services, and it's a great deal for everybody. So it's really interesting. Some of the better companies we've seen are starting to become service bureaus for franchisees and things based on some of the capabilities they can do, because they are doing things like telephony and contact center together and tying.
That's interesting. So if you say, one, the cost savings thing, I want to ask some questions on, because that's an enormous bonus for what you're doing. But I'm curious now a little bit more on what you're saying. So what you're saying is now people have the ability to if I'm the carrier for insurance, I don't know the correct insurance terms for what the big guys are, but if I'm the big insurance carrier and I've got a broker over there in New Jersey or Ohio, just simply by getting your RingCentral application, they can download that, they can get a hard phone, they can get a soft phone. They are now an extension of the contact center through RingCentral because you've paired them together, or is there some special integration that I need to do?
A little bit of a subtlety there. You could give them a contact center seat, but they don't need that.
They don't need that
functionality, right? But what it is I'm on the same PBX that the contact center's on. So when I call in, if I'm available, on the PBX, I can have a simple menu, or the agent can say forward everything. But I can just, because I'm on the same PBX contact center, so it's easy to forward that into the contact center and let the contact center know where this call is coming from and who the agent is that is forwarding that call.
So RingCentral phones are now operating just as if they're one PBX with that in-contact integration. It's all one thing to you guys. There's no swivel chair, there's no nothing. It's just there. So there's nothing that a client would have to come to me and say, hey, Frank, I need an NNI, or I need to do some sort of SIP connection between these suppliers. It's all handled. It's all done. We don't have to worry about that in any way, shape, or form.
I just need an internet, a connection. Everything's over the top.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And it's all done the back end. So if I'm taking calls and I'm not there, my overflow can go back to the mothership, as it were, get triaged by customer service. I can effectively look bigger than I am, or my brokers can look bigger than they are, or have a more advanced setup just by using your platform.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. You talk about it in the exact opposite way I tend to talk about it. I think of it
that's my problem.
Me as the big
yeah.
Me as the big impersonal insurance company, I get to be small and local, and you have a local relationship with the broker, but it's just going to automatically flow through to me when somebody needs that.
Yeah. Interesting the way the mind works on that one. You know, so I'm looking at that broker saying, I am who I am, but now I need to be able to be more responsive. I need to have a broader breadth of services. And you're saying, get that carrier to now be your local guy. You know, let us have that local feel, and we can do that now. That's interesting.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this is beyond how well it's working for the client. I mean, do you have a good case study? Like, can you give me something that says,
so
this is where, the savings thing was huge, but I'd really like to understand something on, because I missed the savings. I got to come back to that. But I'd like to understand what, if there was a particular instance that you guys could say, because I'm a big tangible person on stories. Is there something you could particularly tell me about that this worked well for?
Well, let me talk about Goosehead Insurance, because that's really, we have two insurance companies. That's one of the two I describe when I'm doing this. So they have been very aggressively growing. They're at over 425 franchisees now, 425 brokers. When they started with us, I think it was like 225, and it's been a year and a half-ish. So they are using this model. They have a contact center. They've done sorry, I just lost the thread for a second.
No, it's fine.
So they've got their contact center. And again, you can call the contact center directly. That's fine. That's no problem. But they have set this up for the brokers for exactly what I was just talking about, where I can call into the broker. The broker could talk to me and say, oh, you know what? That's a claims thing. Here, let me transfer you, bada boom, bada bing, into the contact center they go. And again, they can also do that as an after-hour greeting. Hey, this is Mike. I'm not here right now. Leave me a message or press 2 and I'll forward you to the contact center if you've got a question somebody else can handle. That just is inherent in what they're providing as part of this. And they provide their brokers with the phone system and a variety of other services. The interesting thing with them above and beyond that part is when they started with us, they had a net promoter score of like, I think it was 78, and they've driven that up to 91. And that's just an insane net promoter score.
How long a gap did that take to
Took them about a year. So they ran it up 13% in a year. That was the year after they brought our software in. And, you know, 13% is big, but 291, you know, that's just insane to be up that high. And they, you know, some of it was technology. A lot of it was the guy they brought in and how he's approaching things. You know, their agents are now incented on how long they talk on the phone. And it doesn't matter if it's one call all day or a whole bunch of short calls or whatever. You know, it seems like a lot of the best customer service companies do things like that. So it's not purely a technology difference. A lot of it is just the approach and the things that they do. They're also now doing queued callback. So, you know, very simple thing. If I call in and, hey, wait times are over 12 minutes, do you want us to call you back? Sure, that would be great.
I love that feature.
So that kind of stuff
I love
happens.
That feature.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
It's great. It's such a no-brainer. It's just such a no-brainer thing for people to do.
Now, did you present them with this solution? Was this something that they recognized was the problem, or was this a byproduct of you guys coming in? Because you're not just talking a technology, like you said, a technology doesn't solve this. Processes solve that, right? Processes create that. You can't just slap a technology in and say, this is all now wonderful. Everyone's going to get callbacks and everyone's going to go back to the mothership and get support. It doesn't work that way. You had to have done significant process improvements, but was this something that they recognized and came to market looking for, or was this something that was a byproduct that you presented them with, hey, you could do this?
Honestly, I don't know. My guess, knowing the guy there, my guess is he knew this and he had this. I've seen another company in healthcare. They talked to us about this, and you know, think of dental offices, same sort of model, right? There, maybe it's scheduling, and you can go to a central place to get your scheduling done and things like that. And my guess is that this is something that the companies came to us with. I mean, obviously we know it now and we're out there, you know, I'm preaching it here. We're going to preach it to our prospects as well. I've talked to 3 or 4 different companies that have this sort of model where they're doing that. And, you know, honestly, dentist offices are going to look more and more like a service bureau with a bunch of franchises, because they can get the buying power, they can get the prices, and they can bring a bunch of services. And it's everything from chairs and drills and stuff like that, that's kind of day-to-day stuff, but also technology and some things like that. And what they're learning is with a cloud solution, it's not just I can get the same capabilities into your office. It's here's some new things we can do for you that you probably weren't thinking about.
And that's what I see. I mean, a lot of clients that we've worked with have had really good managers with processes that were really impressive, but the technology couldn't keep up. They couldn't get past that next level without the technology making some sort of almost quantum leap forward. You know, they've come to us and they've said, this is great. I'm making do, but if I had this, that, and the other thing, I could explode in the capabilities I'd have. I'd be able to even something as rudimentary as, I shouldn't say rudimentary, but something as simple as I need to keep my agents longer because right now I can't incentivize them properly, or right now I don't have the correct engagement, or I have no means of measuring engagement for people. And what you're talking about, if presented properly, that call center now has shifted from a cost center to a revenue generation center for people, because they've shifted from get them off the phone quick, which is an old school, you know, how long, how many minutes, you know, how many clients can you serve? How many minutes are you gobbling up to? What are we doing for that client? How are we servicing that client? What have you done for that client? Have you switched that client to become an advocate to us now, as opposed to someone who's just unhappy with us? This is an interesting kind of shift for that person and that manager to do. And did they measure it through their own tools, or were you giving them tools that said, now we can measure it better?
It being the Net Promoter Score?
The Net Promoter Score, yeah.
They were dedicated to Net Promoter. They had their own stuff in there. We have tools. We can help people with that, absolutely. But in this case, he was driving that. That might be, actually, we could talk offline. We could introduce you. He might be a good podcast for you to have.
I'd love it. Those kinds of podcasts are great.
I've always worked on the vendor side, or pretty much always. And the best thing about this job is when you see somebody who takes your technology and goes boom, over there in some crazy direction with stuff, and you're just like, that's cool, and I never would have thought of that. That's always like the best part of the job by far. I'm sure you see that in your world.
No, I love it. I love it. I love when someone comes back to us and they say, hey, Frank, by the way, you showed us this, and look where we took it from there. We changed this process. But because of this, we had some unintended consequence that was fantastic, and now we're doing this, that, and the other thing. To me, those are kind of the ones where you're like, you're happy you did something. You know, you're kind of, and this is why we focus in the context center space, because it's not like MPLS, and it's not like SD-WAN, which for the most part, again, it's for the most part, it's not impactful to the end user client, right? The brokers, it's going to be an invisible, it's going to be an invisible doodad that's just doing their thing. Whereas contact center is massively impactful. It's the first time, it's the front facing piece of what the organization represents. This is who we are is truly said right there. This is who we are. Here's our contact center. Here's how we're going to service you. That's why this is an exciting thing for us. I focus on this business entirely because it's so much more fun than, you know, MPLS. It's just which is great.
The state of the art for contact center for so long has been so horrible. There's just so much room for improvement, and it can be so cost effective to do things right.
Mm-hmm.
When I always like to give a really simplistic example of my airlines. I fly American, and even though they don't have a
I thought you said my hairline, and I was about to take that joke a little personal. I was like, that's the second shot of the call. That's the second ding of the call.
I'd only do one. I would never do two shots.
Two shots.
Call American Airlines. They don't, you know, they say, hello, Jay. I see you're flying tomorrow. Is that why you're calling? I'm not going to get into why they call me Jay, but I can if you want, but it's not an interesting story.
I don't know if you're in witness protection or not. It's fine.
We'll stay out of that. The alternative is, hi, who is this? Enter your number, blah, blah, woof, woof. Well, it's not that hard. You know, technology has been out there since early 90s to know the number I'm calling from and use that to look me up in a CRM system and know that I have a flight coming up. And that's an infinitely better customer experience. Now, the other part about it is it's a huge cost savings. Because if you think about it, if I go to an IVR and I got to identify myself and stuff, there's some cost there, not that much. But then I'm going to an agent, and the agent's got to do whatever they do to figure out who I am, and then they got to figure out why I'm calling, and then they got to go look up all the stuff. If that's 30 seconds a call times 1,000 agents times however many calls a day times however many calls a year, the cost savings is insane.
Oh yeah, no, it's amazing.
So the value of being able to do this right is, you know, it's not just you know, I love being able to go to somebody and say, here's a better customer experience. And oh, by the way, it's going to cut your cost by 20% or something like that.
Yeah, which that, I mean, that's great. And everyone, listen, there's only so low prices can go on certain aspects of this, right? We've seen some very interesting pricing models. I think it's, I do feel it's shifted in profile of the buyer now to, I need to drive revenue from this. So price, yeah, price is important, but I need to be able to drive engagement with clients. I need to be able to speak to them how they want to be spoken to. I need to be able to speak to them on the median they want to be spoken to, when they want to be spoken to.
Yes.
You know, it's that first 30 seconds of a call for some people is intolerable. For some people, it's like, I've just spent now a minute on the phone with you or a half minute on the phone with you identifying who I am when you've called me on my cell phone. Like, come on. Or I've called you with my phone.
How can this possibly be possible? Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the airline reference because the airlines, you know, if you take a look at Net Promoter Score, you know, they've historically always been pretty low. They're not the Harley Davidson stories, but they, you know, they have of great promoter scores. They're lower. But there's so many things that they could do that travel agencies of mine, clients of mine have been doing, you know, the text before the flight, the text confirming the flight, the text when the flight's going to be delayed. These are things that are really powerful people. And it's all driven by, I think everyone has become a critic. I think everyone now can be a critic with and shout from the mountaintop about how bad you are. So some of these industries have been forced to really adopt this. Not that they didn't want to, but you know, industry wide, you've seen massive shifts in being proactive versus reactive. You know, you bring up the airlines a good example. What was airline travel back 10 years ago when a flight got delayed? You know, you'd be wandering around looking for an update, and now you sit down, you get a text, and you order another drink at the bar because you know you're going to be another hour late. It's so different now. It's a massive difference than when you and I used to travel.
Such a difference. Yeah, and you know, think of the, you know, I've had situations now where my flight was delayed so much I wasn't going to make my connection, and I got a text that said, "Hey, we booked you on the next flight. You don't have to worry about it." Oh my God. Versus remember when you had to go get in the line and the customer service thing and there was 50 people deep and it was, you know, that you couldn't even think about making that other flight because you couldn't get through the line to the person that moved you on it.
And that's where the guy would come to the middle of the line and be like, "Is this the end of the line?" And you're like, "No, I'm actually in the middle of the line. Get away from me." I guess what it was. Like, no, I'm in the middle. You're deep, 50 people behind me and 50 people in front of me. It's not the end. Oh, do you mind if I get in here? But that's good customer service. I mean, like, you probably have those kind of, I mean, listen, you're on the product marketing, the development side of this. So you get kind of a lot of feedback from people about how they're using your tools so that you can change the direction or modify the direction or stay the course on your tools. Have you had any universal experience where your sales team or your clients have come back to you and said, "What is good customer service and how have you guys adopted that into your strategy? Like, this is good service."
You know, I think what you described a little bit earlier, you hit a lot of the key. Proactive is huge. You know, the more, you know, why do I have to call if you know something is happening? And, you know, SMS is so easy to do. I can just send you a text. I know your number.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is a real key to a lot of this. Another piece is the omni-channel. Being able to do it on whatever channel somebody wants. You know, if I'm in your mobile app, please God, don't say, you know, 1-800 call this number and make me do that. Break me completely
out of
what I'm doing.
Take me to the next step easily.
Yeah, exactly. You know, why can't I just have a window that comes up and say, "Hey, I'm having a problem." And at that point, also, it's the continuity of the experience, because now if I call, it's back to, "Hi, who are you?" Right? If I am on a page in the app and I say, "I need help," it's, you know, "Frank, I see you're on the ordering page. It looks like you're about to complete this order and you're having trouble. How can I help you?" Talk about your driving sales, right? If I've got people who are supporting the e-commerce, I'm driving more business there and making sure I'm not losing that shopping cart.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And, you know, there's so many different channels. Okay, I'm going to stray off and talk about digital for a minute because it's just too fun not to.
I like it. Let's go.
You know, one of the most interesting things that we're seeing happening is the messaging apps. And so now you've got, you know, Facebook Messenger and Apple Business Chat and WhatsApp. And, you know, this is stuff we use all the time. And for the companies, it's a real inexpensive channel to set up. The expectation is close to real time, but it's not quite real time. So you can actually have, you know, agents can do a half a channel more than they could do if it was just pure chat. So you're spreading your costs out a little bit better. And it's such a better experience for the customer because they're in a environment that they're already in. You know, if I'm on a flight and it gets canceled and I'm doing WhatsApp with a friend and I can just go WhatsApp to American Airlines and say, hey, my flight's, you know, I don't have to get on the phone or in the crowded airplane and do this. I can just go ahead and start communicating with somebody live right there. And Google's starting to get into this now, and that one's going to be really interesting. What they're doing is, like, you know, in Google Maps, when you find a restaurant you want to go to and you can call them or you can whatever, they're going to start having message the restaurant. So now, or whatever the business is. So yeah. Think of it as a Home Depot, and let's talk about what we were talking about before. I can message the store. If it's after hours, I can message the store after hours because that can go to the contact center. And I can find out, you know, does that store have the microwave I need in stock? Just right there in a conversation with a live agent. And, you know, Google driving you to that company and then you being able to communicate through that, that's really powerful. And what we like about all these digital, and the other thing is, the messaging companies, you know, they end up owning security. They end up building a lot more infrastructure that you're going to get with just chat or something like that. You end up, there's a lot less headache for the company just from a technical standpoint, from an infrastructure standpoint. And then what we're about is I've got an agent desktop. In my agent desktop, I can do email, I can do chat, I can do SMS, I can do from the mobile app, I can do all these messaging apps, I can do social media. You were talking before, you know, people go out there and slam me on social media. I can go find those and I can respond, you know, I can direct message you and say, hey, Frank, you really look unhappy. Is there something I can do for you, please? You know, and then at the end say, hey, Frank, so glad we could solve your problem and make sure everybody in the universe sees that part, right? It's just interesting how the channels are proliferating. We don't know what's going to be, you know, I'd be willing to bet right now that the dominant digital channel that we're going to be using 3 years from now is currently six guys in a garage that we've never heard of yet, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a dynamic world. And, you know, so a lot of what we're about is serve all those people, make it invisible which channel they're coming in on to the agent. So the agent just learns one desktop and they can do everything across all the different channels. And then when the next channel comes, we just add it on. And we just, you know, we're constantly adding more and more channels as something gets interesting as customers drive us.
Yeah, you've basically hit on the fact of, well, you shouldn't say the fact, you've basically hit on the premise of omni-channel versus multi-channel and what means what to people, right? Yeah. Does your organization have the ability to do multi or omni? Can I take a continuous flow of that conversation with that same client and that same agent across multiple media types without a problem, without having to restart the conversation, without having to bring in a different agent? That's the conversation that I think is going to drive the contact center, where I can, when I get to the point where I can just start texting somebody instead of having to call into the customer service. I can just start. This is the group I texted last time. Hey, my washer's broken again. Oh, that's Frank calling again. Frank, what's up? You know, that's cool.
Right. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that's really cool is we now have the ability, when you come to us through Twitter, the first time you do that, we're going to go to the agent and say, who is this? And, you know, if you've been looked up in Salesforce, we're going to say, is it this contact we know about from Salesforce? And you say yes. And then you come in with FW dude on Facebook, and you were also FW dude on Twitter, that's going to guess and say, is this the same guy? And the agent says yes. So from then on, I know your identity across all those channels. So the ability to have that cross-channel conversation is a lot easier. You know, I can route to the same agent and do stuff like that. But even if, you know, like a lot of times that's not going to work because the agent isn't there. But even then, the next
agent. That's just overflow management. Yeah, it's overflow management. And you got the history
exactly.
there. The history's there.
Exactly.
That's, oh, that's FW dude. That's cool. That's him.
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I did my partner and I, in advance of a big client that we worked with, before, you know, everything settled in now, which I do want to get into with the pandemic and stuff like that, we were going crazy because social was becoming a major problem for them. And I'm of a certain generation that it was so foreign to me to complain on social media. It just wasn't something I did, right? I never would have thought to do it. So over the course of 2 weeks, my partner and I found every reason to complain about anything with any brand that we could find, a gas station to a 7-Eleven to anything. We just found reasons to complain. And more than half of them responded to us, got back to us, some issued credits, some sent coupons to us, and some Speedway, I will say, the gas station near us, tripped over themselves trying to help us and solve the problem that we found, which was a real problem. But I could not believe how powerful the message was. And some people just ignored us outright, you know, and it was interesting to see how that dynamic has changed. And we've seen where on social, there was a stat, I forget the stat, but it was the numbers are pretty accurate, but the statement is going to be somewhat off, but something like 80% of people under 30 expect a brand to get back to them when they talk about them on social media. Not that it'd be nice if they could, not that it'd be nice to talk to or hear from them, or that'd be cool, or wow, that'd be novel. No, I expect them to respond to me when I directly complain about them online. 80%. I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah. Well, and think about the implications of this in terms of a consistent customer experience. If you have different tools, or heaven forbid, I'm sure in some cases they're just, you know, prowling Twitter and replying from Twitter.
Yeah.
But imagine if I've got a tool to do social media, and I got a tool to do the phone, and I got a tool to do chat, I'm always going to do my complaining on social media because I get 10 times better service that way.
Yeah.
Right? And how can the company begin to control that if those are separate tools and they're separate groups? And there's no way to have a consistent customer experience. It's just physically impossible at that time.
And I think,
you know,
now,
being able to...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think now with the pandemic of the coronavirus right now, is a lot of these brands got caught with their pants down trying to do this in a distributed fashion like they were. I mean, I think there's an interesting opportunity here for cloud suppliers to take a real chunk out of the premises-based solution providers because of this, you know, where you guys could migrate them, everyone could go home, do an internet service, do an internet connection to your office, we're done. Don't mess around with VPNs, buy laptops, individual laptops, whatever, just log in, download the platform, and you're up and running. This is an interesting time for us as advocates of the cloud to really drive this adoption. Do you see anything that you guys need to do to take that chunk out? Do you guys see anything that you could do differently or do new to really get a bigger chunk faster?
Yeah, what a great question. We are doing a couple of things here. We actually have an offer. Let me step back. The pain point of a company who has a premises-only system and can't VPN to everybody out there, and just the logistics of getting everybody on is just way too hard. Think about where they are now. I can stop taking calls, but that's not a very good option.
Yeah, that's not an option.
I lose customers left and right. So now what's my option? I'm going to bring agents into the office in, you know, a very crowded situation, there's no way they're going to be able to social distance in a context. I mean, I guess send half the people home or move people into a different building or something, but it's going to be really hard. Yeah, you can't. There's an interesting article in Slate recently that an agent who worked for Charter Communications just flamed the company, and Slate picked it up. And, you know, there's the CEO sending emails out saying how much they care about their employees and forcing them to work in a literally dangerous situation.
Oh, no.
I mean, the liability around this is just insane. And, you know, what we can do as a cloud-based vendor is it's a strip down. So I can, we've got an offer within 48 hours, we can get you up and running. You can forward calls to whatever number we have. It's not going to have CRM integration. It's not going to be all this wonderful multi-channel stuff.
Yeah, 48 hours is 48 hours.
Yeah, in 48 hours, I can have a simple menu. I can get it to an agent. And yeah, I'm going to have to do, Frank, who are you? Let me look you up in Salesforce. This will take just a second. I got it. But oh my God, they're working from home. They're not going to die. They're not going to be sick, right?
Now that's because I have a lot of clients that I go to and from really, you know, call it November through February, at least three of those contact centers will say to me, a flu has driven through this place like wildfire. I've got 30 agents out or 60 agents out because the flu has come through here like crazy. And we've all got it. You know, it's a kind of funny situation to hear 6 months ago. Now you're kind of like, ooh, you know, that's what is that? But what you're talking about, you're going in a direction which I find interesting of like an offer. But what about the larger industry? Do you see something that needs to be done so we can get a bigger chunk of that business faster? Do you see an adoption ratio that has to, because we're still only in the teens in terms of adoption, low teens.
Yeah. Wow, that's a good hard question. I think a lot of it is still just education. You know, this gives me a chance to go back to something you talked about earlier with your customers who have this vision for something they want to do and they can't get there.
Uh-huh.
A cloud vendor, you know, you start looking at the things cloud vendors can do with integrations between each other. There's just a flexibility and an agility there and capabilities that are there. And then when you start talking about the future and new capabilities, et cetera, well, if I'm on, I'm going to pick on Avaya, why not? If I'm on an Avaya system, and I'm two releases behind, I've got a $100,000 project to get to the point where I can take advantage of whatever new features and functions they have. And they're very limited because they're stuck in a very specific infrastructure for that thing. Whereas with the cloud, I'm going to get the updates, you know, quarterly, weekly, monthly, depends on the vendor and how they manage it. I'm automatically going to be on the latest and greatest. So as I go forward, you know, screen pops get a whole lot easier than they used to be, or callback. I mean, that's something that's now most cloud vendors, it's just inherent. And, you know, web callback is another, or web chat and co-browse. These are things that just become extensions of the product that we've been able to do for a long time, but we've been able to do it with very expensive PS projects and very custom bespoke sorts of things. And now it just becomes a function in the application. And that's a whole new world. That's really exciting. You know, I obviously we go on the mountaintop and yell about this stuff as much as we can and how wonderful it is. If I knew what the thing to flip the bit and have it go from 17 to 78, I would be a very wealthy man at the end of that. I wish I had the magic answer, but I mean, it is absolutely inevitable. You know, maybe it's the, you know, super cool use case that we haven't really thought through yet, that somebody's going to, you know, one of these goosehead or somebody's going to find, and it's just like everybody else goes, oh God, if I can't do that, I'm going to go out of business. And it's something that a cloud vendor can be agile enough to get you to, whereas these other guys won't be able to. But yeah. I don't know the magic switch to flip for that.
Yeah, I think education's right. I mean, you start talking about how long you've been in the business, and you start having a conversation around hosted VoIP was, just look at what RingCentral's core was, how long ago it was, and the partnerships you just announced with Avaya. I mean, you know, premises-based systems in the phone system have almost entirely shifted to where it's a default cloud. It's not even a conversation anymore. And that took a big chunk of time. That took a long migration. I think there was probably the concerns around security first, loss of control second, and then fear of losing your job third. And once you get past those three, the benefits just outweigh those risks, because those risks kind of disappear. You know, it's secure. I'm not going to lose my job, right?
Right,
I can
right.
deal with the lack of control because I can do this, that, and the other thing, right? I still think people are comfortable in this mission critical thing saying something broke, let me go get something off the shelf and fix it. There's still a lot of that in the premises-based world where people are just comfortable with that. They need to release that and know and trust in the redundancy and the reliability of cloud providers. You mentioned you had a time limit. I don't know if we're at that time limit now.
I'm kind of up against it. I can pick back up in a little bit if you want.
Okay, so let's do this. Let me circle back. Let's end it now. This is great. I mean, we had 45 minutes of great conversation here. I really do appreciate it. You've been wonderful here. Maybe what we'll do is we'll circle back another time with you to have another call. But we had some technical difficulties at first trying to get this thing going because everyone's gobbling up everything. So, no, this was great. Max, I really can't tell you how much I appreciate the conversation with you. There's some good insights here into the industry, some good insights into where you guys are going next. I think maybe I'd reserve the right to call you back at some point and talk about where you guys are going from a roadmap and from an integration. Because I think that's probably where people would get a lot of value out of, is seeing why the combined products are more powerful than the standalone products.
Yeah, and there's actually probably later in the year that would be good, because there's some roadmap things that we're not ready to talk about yet.
Sure.
A little later in the year, I can ping you when that happens, and that would be great.
Okay.
That'd be the right time for that. I'll stop this and download the recording. I hope it's okay. I realized I didn't have it maximized for a while, and then I did maximize it later, and I had a couple of pieces of toast pop up from different random apps that I didn't think to close. So
I haven't seen anything, so I'm sure you're fine. And I think the recording is smart enough. Hopefully it'll filter it all out. But listen, you've been great.
It should, yeah.
You've been great. I appreciate the time. You know, getting on the CX experience is not an easy thing to do. So, you know, you're one of a select few. My roster is jammed up. But listen, man, Max, thank you very much.
You're going to have to have like an all-star meetup at a big show or something.
I may do that. Because we do want to do a panel discussion soon. I want to get a panel discussion going.